Well, more movie memories now. She was unfaithful and a shrew in the film of Human Bondage, spoiled and headstrong in Jezebel, devious and scheming in The Little Foxes, and only a fool would tangle with her Margot Channing in All About Eve.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Bette Davis was by many measures the great movie star of Hollywood's studio system, and she was born 100 years ago this week. Bette Davis movies play constantly on television, but for her 100th birthday, Bob Mondello wants us to consider and to hear a less familiar Bette Davis.
The artistic dossier on Bette Davis is undeniably impressive. She was a cinematic force of nature in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. No one smoked a cigarette or strode into view or delivered a barbed line with more force than she did. Davis's personal dossier, on the other hand, well, she played difficult women, and she had a reputation for being difficult herself. When the brothers Warner cast her in mediocre movies, she made them sue her before she'd star in them. She fought with director William Wyler, with whom she was madly in love, and with her brother-in-law, a recovering alcoholic to whom she sent 2 cases of liquor as a wedding present. She feuded with Joan Crawford, an arch-rival she once accused of having slept with every male star at MGM except Lassie. And at the peak of her fame for doing those things, she played a character who did that same kind of thing and had the nerve to try to justify her behavior in All About Eve.
Infants behave the way I do, you know. They carry on and misbehave. They'd get drunk if they knew how. When they can't have what they want. When they feel unwanted or insecure or unloved.
Okay, that's the character, and Davis herself wasn't that kind of insecure. She knew she was good, and as she took home Oscar nomination after Oscar nomination, 8 in 10 years, all for Best Actress, the industry kept reminding her. And then it discarded her, calling her difficult and washed up and over the hill at 40, which is when she made All About Eve. And even though it won her another Best Actress nomination, it didn't restart her career. In fact, it did her so little good that a year later, she did something that I'd say proved that Bette Davis was not difficult at all, that she would, in fact, do absolutely anything she was asked.
Mr. Conductor, if you please.
She would even appear on stage in a musical review called Two's Company.
Don't want to cruise the Riviera. Don't want a diamond mine. Want to smell grease paint in dressing rooms where a coveted Oscar is Hammerstein. Just turn me loose on Broadway.
Painful, no? Now, the thing about live theater is that you don't get to do it once and then you're finished. You have to do it every night. And the minute the producers announced that Bette Davis was doing a musical review, it started selling out. So she was going to have to do a lot of nights. Standing room only tryouts in Detroit, Philadelphia, and Boston. An enormous advance on Broadway. It didn't really matter that the show was terrible and Davis couldn't sing. Except to her, of course. Rumors had been circulating during rehearsals that she was sick, she was dropping out, she was being replaced by Martha Raye. All false, as it happened, though she was tired. At the show's first performance in front of an audience, she finished the opening number and almost immediately collapsed. When she revived, she blew the crowd a kiss and said, "Well, you can't say I didn't fall for you. This is a woman who's difficult."
Oh, you kid!
The lady's a lamb, which didn't keep the producers from leading her to slaughter. They called in show doctors who didn't do much except encourage the star to do a lot of unstar-like things.
A 1, a 2,
a 3,
a 4.
It's tricky.
She even sang a song as a gap-toothed, pipe-smoking hillbilly.
Oh, do,
boop-boop,
a-do,
hey!
Critic Walter Kerr wrote at the Broadway opening, "Miss Davis unbends so much, there's some doubt whether she'll ever be able to straighten up again."
Ha!
Boop, boop, ba-doop, bo-do,
dee-do,
hey!
She ended up giving more than 150 performances in Two's Company before returning to Hollywood, where, once again, no one paid much attention to her, until she earned a 10th Oscar nomination as a horror film gargoyle in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. At which point, at 54, she was again written off as Over the Hill. Finished. Imagine that happening to Meryl Streep or Helen Mirren, both of whom are older and neither of whom is remotely as big in Hollywood as Davis was at her peak. Unthinkable, right? But that was then, so Davis did what a woman of a certain age had to. She compromised, not her standards, but her fees, and went on television and did more theater, including another stab at a musical, believe it or not. Even after a stroke and recurring bouts of cancer, she continued working right up until the year she died. So excuse me, a temper tantrum or two, a bitchy remark or six, entirely understandable. Betty Davis may have raised her voice on occasion, but difficult? What she was up against was difficult. And despite that, for six decades, she played tough, sexy broads in a way that suggested that a tough, sexy broad was what any sensible woman would want to be. I'm Bob Mandela.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.